listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Welcome to another episode. I just got off the phone with Congressman David Young. He is running for a third term in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. He's a Republican. He was the only Republican member of Iowa's congressional delegation, both in the House and the Senate, to vote for the omnibus bill that passed last week and was signed by President Trump. Obviously, a lot of our readers and listeners are concerned about that bill, as was I, and still am. It's definitely a huge spending increase. So he goes on the record to talk about that bill and why he voted the way he did. We also talked about the Stress Act. It's a bill to address farmer suicide, his view on trade and tariffs, and just what he's hearing around the district and what he hopes to accomplish in a third term. We'll plan on having him back as it gets closer to November. But anyway, before we get to that conversation, first, here's a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And we are back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Congressman David Young. Hey, Congressman Young, thank you so much for taking time to talk with our listeners and myself. So welcome to the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast.
Great to be with you again, Shane.
Good to have you. And first of all, I wanted to ask you, are you a basketball fan?
I'm a basketball fan. I love college basketball.
Okay, did you do a March Madness bracket?
Well... kinda, if you know, like everybody else, that first round kind of ruined it for everybody.
It's like a dumpster fire this year, isn't
it?
I
mean, but I love underdogs, and it's neat to see Loyola where they are today.
Yeah, that was a wild. The South section, the division of the bracket was just incredible, and I got 3 out of 4 Final Four picks right, except that one. I was thinking Virginia was going to make it, but yeah.
A lot of people thought Virginia was going to make it, but I'm rooting for Loyola in the end here.
Yeah, I know. I like underdog stories too. If you got had the omnibus bill just pass, I have to tell you, Congressman Young, that some of my readers and friends, and I'm here, they're not happy about that bill. You voted in favor of it, and I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about what was it in the bill that you liked that you felt like, I had to vote yes on this.
Well, first of all, we're never going to govern like a majority and act like a majority in Congress, really, until we get deal with that 60-vote rule in the Senate.
Right.
And so that is really what hampered us into getting the best bill that we could get, because really you're negotiating with Chuck Schumer and the Democrats over there.
Okay.
So you know, people are upset about the process. I am too. But in the end, you're given a piece of legislation, and you vote on the merits of it. And when the president and the Secretary of Defense say they are in desperate need of making sure that our men and women are trained properly and given the tools that they need to defeat any enemy out there, and when we see what's happening with Russia and North Korea, Iran, Afghanistan, what's going on in the Middle East, and after having gone over to Iraq and Afghanistan last fall to visit with Iowans who are wearing our uniform, and speaking with generals, they need help. And unfortunately, the cards were dealt with, and to change this, we either have to get 60 Republicans in the Senate and govern like a true majority, or we have to at least challenge the notion that things like nominations and spending bills, appropriation bills, they have to be just majority rule over in the Senate, because those are constitutional issues. Those are issues that are in our Constitution.
Right. I know I'm tired of just passing omnibus bill after omnibus bill. We're not actually getting a, you know, real budget passed, because it seems like we're always having this threat of a government shutdown looming over Congress, you know, every few months. And nobody wants to shut down the government because they're afraid of the political, you know, just the politics involved in that and how.
Well, there's the politics involved in that, and there's also the fact that when you shut down the government, it actually costs the taxpayers more money to open it and close it down.
Okay.
But let me say this, Shane, that in the House of Representatives, we're majority rules. And I'm on the Appropriations Committee, and we got all our appropriations bills done in subcommittee on time.
Right.
We got all our bills done in the full committee of the Appropriations Committee done on time. We got all the appropriations bills done on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives on time in an open amendment process. And then we deal with the Senate. And because of the Senate's fault, that's where we ended up. But I needed to support our troops on this, and I wanted to support our president and Secretary Mattis as well.
Okay.
And we gave our troops a pay raise. There is funding in there for border security, not as much as probably that the president wanted, and many of us others didn't get. But the president did say that this was the way to do it. Now, he threatened a veto on this over DACA. And, you know, that was interesting. I would like to see us deal with DACA, and I would like to call the Democrats kind of on the carpet on this, especially Senator Schumer, in dealing with this, because this is a tough issue, and the president's shown some real leadership on this. It should be in the hands of the legislative body and Congress, and not in the president's hand, any president's hand.
Right. What kind of a fix would you like to see for DACA, or would you like to just totally repeal it? I mean, where do you land on that issue?
Yeah. So I've been pretty public about this and saying that you have to deal with DACA and border security in the same bill. You have to marry them together. There's not a lot of trust right now on the left and the right when it comes to this issue particularly. You can't just deal with DACA and then get a promise from the other side saying we'll deal with border security in the next bill. You have to do them together. So, you know, I followed the president's, you know, lead on this, maybe not going as far as he wants to go on some aspects of it, but right now I'm for dealing with the folks who are on DACA, who were pretty much raised here, maybe not born here, but all they know is the United States of America.
Right.
Many of them are in our military, they're in our schools, they're in our communities, they're upright folks out there obeying the law. Now, any that are felons, they need to go, wherever you're from, you know, whether you're DACA or not DACA. If you're here legally and you're a felon, you need to go. Some people want to go, so I would give permanent legal status. Now, some want to go as far as a path to citizenship. Now, you would have to marry that, I think, with some other things that we on the conservative side would like to see, and that is real border security.
Right.
And that is giving the president the tools that he needs to make sure that that is done. And there's going to be not every place is going to be a wall, but where a wall needs to be, that's where it should be. And you got to consult with the governors on that and border security. When I say the governors of those states that are down there on the border.
Right.
But in some places, you just need unmanned aerial vehicles. You need more fencing. You need Coast Guard down by San Diego, that kind of thing. And then you also have to come to the table and deal with what they call chain migration, family unification, and really narrow that down to maybe just the nuclear family.
Right.
And get away from the visa lottery system as well, which just doesn't make sense to me. If you're a head of a company and you're hiring for a head accountant, you're not just going to pick a resume out of a pile because that resume may not have the skills on it that you need for that job. You want, I think, a merit-based system when it comes to anything like a visa lottery.
Right. Kind of back to the omnibus bill. I wanted to ask, first of all, should Speaker Ryan giving you guys more time? I mean, one thing I was frustrated by is like he's giving you guys hours to read a 23,000 page document. Nobody can do that in the amount of time that you were given. And in my mind, it lacked transparency.
I would have liked more time, but I will tell you this: for members of the House, we had seen the supermajority of this bill already because the basis of it was what we did in the House. That was kind of the blueprint of it all. And then there were some rioters put in there and some other provisions as well that I saw. And I would like more time, of course. Transparency is very, very important. But the bill is pretty much cooked by what we passed in the House through our appropriations process. And in the Senate, they barely even touched an appropriations bill, which was pathetic.
Yeah, so I'm curious, and I'm sure my listeners are going to be curious. You know, we're seeing spending bills, you know, these omnibus bills get passed, and we're seeing spending continue to increase. And of course, we're concerned about the national debt. And I'm wondering what could have happened with this bill that would have, you know, gotten a no vote from you.
I think that if we would have lost any more votes on our side and it would have gone back to a conference committee or been renegotiated, it would have gotten worse.
Okay.
Because we would have to have gone left and negotiated with more Democrats. So
right.
I felt this was the best that we were going to get. Now, I do want to make some points on the issues of abortion and sanctuary cities.
Sure, go ahead.
In the bill, we had the Hyde Amendment. You know what the Hyde Amendment is?
Right.
It's named after Henry Hyde, a former member from Illinois, which says that provision was in there. It says no taxpayer money can be used to fund abortions.
Right.
And that was in the bill. And that Hyde Amendment is and language is something we always look for to make sure that we maintain in these bills. Now, there was a lot of folks talking about Planned Parenthood and saying we need to make sure that there's no funding in there for Planned Parenthood. There was no funding in there for Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is not mentioned once in that bill. So in a way, we're kind of not our own worst enemies, but we got to change our mindset because we're not dealing with the Obama administration anymore. We're dealing with the Trump-Pence administration, which is one of the most pro-life administrations that I've ever seen, and I'm thankful for. And so if any money were to ever get to Planned Parenthood, it would be because the Trump-Pence administration would grant them funding through a grant program at the Department of Health and Human Services. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
The same thing with sanctuary cities. We couldn't. There's no earmarking in there for sanctuary cities, but there's no funding in there for them as well. And so Jeff Sessions, the head of the Department of Justice, our Attorney General, it's hard to believe that he's going to allow any funding to go through sanctuary cities. And so we need to make sure that the administration, of course, doesn't do that. And they've really shown their commitment to life and to not funding municipalities that are not following immigration laws.
Okay. All right. I just moving on. You co-sponsored a bill, or I believe you're the co-sponsor of the STRESS Act?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I'm sure this is an issue that, you know, while I know a lot of Iowans are probably familiar with it, probably not necessarily those of us who aren't necessarily following agricultural issues and may not know about the farmer suicide rate that you guys are seeing right now.
Well, you know, we talk about the issues of mental health that we hear more and more about, and I hear more and more about them in urban areas, rural areas. You probably have too, and I don't know if more and more people are having issues, emotional and mental health issues, or if more people are just comfortable talking about it. But I do know that the Center for Disease Control did a study on occupations where suicides are the highest, and it's in agriculture. And that shocked me. But at the same time, I had to sit back and think about the stresses that happens in agriculture, where you're uncertain of market conditions every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price of commodities are so low, and at the same time, you're dependent on the weather. And we wanted to make sure that there were some resources out there, and this comes in the Stress Act, to make sure that farmers, producers, folks in rural Iowa had some kind of resources to make sure that if they're having an issue that they can go to someone and talk to somebody. It kind of is reminiscent of the Veterans Crisis Line. Make sure that Veterans Crisis Line is working, and that every time a veteran or their family member calls that phone number, somebody answers and helps them with those emotional war wounds that they may still have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have some issues going on in agriculture where the farmer, the agriculture community is under some heavy, heavy stress just to make ends meet. And many times they don't make ends meet because agriculture income is down 4 years in a row.
Right.
Now we're dealing with talking about tariffs on aluminum and steel and how that could bring about a trade war and who's retaliated against first. Shane, that's agriculture.
Right. You had some you expressed concern to President Trump about his tariff proposal. How do you think he should approach trade?
Well, I want him to be engaged with other countries to bring about more trade agreements. And, President Trump, he doesn't like multilateral agreements, which is, NAFTA,
mm-hmm.
which was the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, President Obama had formulated. And the president said, well, I don't want to do Trans-Pacific Partnership. I like bilateral agreements. Well, then I would advocate that the president do that. Let's get those bilateral agreements going. Let's make sure they're free and that they're fair as well. When it comes to this latest move on tariffs on steel and aluminum, the president started out kind of with broad comments that it was going to go against every country out there, but he walked that back a bit, I think, mm-hmm. because of concerns that he heard from folks, maybe like myself or Senator Grassley or Senator Ernst or Congressman King, and even Congressman Blum and Loebsack as well. Our whole delegation said, wait, let's really think about this. And so he wants to target that to specific countries, and right now China is the one that we're looking at. I would have engaged China directly with some just a new round of negotiations at the table over what our current agreements are. The World Trade Organization, global governance is not something that I'm a real fan of, but the World Trade Organization is the venue that if you have a dispute, that's where you go. And more times than not, when we go to the World Trade Organization, we end up on the better side of that. So that was an option. But I hope that President Trump, being the keen negotiator that he says he is, yeah, I hope this is a tactic that brings the China to the table. You know, Canada and Mexico are exempt from this, which I find interesting because about 32% of what we import in aluminum and steel comes from Canada and Mexico, mm-hmm. and only about 3% come from China.
Right. Okay. You're running for your third term. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Time flies.
It certainly does, Shane.
So do
the gray hairs.
Yeah, I could definitely amen to that. I could look in the mirror and testify. What are you, when you're coming back home and talking to constituents and potential voters, what are you hearing from Iowans?
Well, I'm hearing, when you're in the agriculture, rural parts of the district, there is concern right now about the economy, particularly with the trade issue and any potential retaliation there. There's some concern that the administration is not as serious as they said they were before on preserving renewable fuels, and we speak specifically of the renewable fuel standard. But they like the direction where the country is going in terms of the tax relief that has been implemented.
Mm-hmm.
People are seeing more money in their paychecks. And, you know, many folks have been working paycheck to paycheck or two or three jobs, and this has given them relief, and they're not just crumbs like Nancy Pelosi says they are.
Right. Her definition of crumbs and mine are completely two different things.
Right. This is allowing people to have that it's a mortgage payment for many. It's a family vacation. It's help with student loans, a car payment, those kind of things. You know, we doubled the child tax credit, doubled the standard deduction, make sure retirement savings tools are beneficial to them and working to their advantage. And also for small businesses and larger employers, reducing the tax rate there makes us more competitive on the corporate side where companies are staying here. We've heard all about the bonuses that many companies are giving, the reinvestments, raising of the wages. And for our smaller businesses, the backbone of our employment out there, they are benefiting tremendously from this and very excited about this tax relief. But people are still talking everywhere about health care. That is still an issue that's out there that I think needs addressed. We need to bring markets back, give states more autonomy and flexibility in what they're dealing with, because Iowa is not like New York. We're all different in the way we deliver health care and want to do it. And I hear a lot more about respect for the president's challenging to the world about leading through strength, peace through strength. And mm-hmm. Look what's happening right now. Who would have thought that the head of North Korea would be buckling right now and saying, hey, I want to sit down at the table.
So speaking of President Trump, I know Democrats' strategy overall seems to be we're going to hang Trump around the necks of Republican, you know, congressmen and Republican candidates like an albatross. Do you think that's going to happen in the 3rd District?
I think Iowans are a lot smarter than those prognosticator and pundits and pollsters and campaign gurus think they are. We're smart. We know that Steve King, Rod Blum, and David Young are not Donald Trump. We all stand on our own merits. But I'm going to run on some of the things that we partnered with the president when it comes to rolling back rules and regulations, getting the economy going, the tax relief, those kind of things. And when I have my differences with the president, I've said so. One is the trade issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people know that my boss is not the president. My boss is not Speaker Ryan.
Right.
My bosses are the people of the 3rd District, and that's who I answer to.
Good deal. Yeah, you don't have to answer to, you know, respond to every tweet that Donald, gosh, you'd be so busy if you had to comment on every tweet he makes.
We'd all be busy.
Yeah.
And I appreciate his use of Twitter in the sense that to bypass the mainstream media, to get out good news that is happening out there that's not being reported. Sometimes, you know, I flinch. Wish he wouldn't tweet outside the lines so much, but
right.
And I wish he was a little more Iowan than New Yorker. But that's who he is, and that's who the people elected. And choices are given, and they supported President Trump. And so, but Congress is we're working on issues. We try not to be distracted from all the noise out there that the media brings up, and just focus on the work at hand and leading, and trying to make a better life for the people of the 3rd District. And sometimes that means not new rules and or new laws, but getting out of the way.
Right.
And just letting this economy flourish and letting liberty ride freely.
Right. Well, I want to respect your time and let you go. We'll have to have you back on when it gets a little bit closer in November. But thank you so much for spending time with us and have a happy Easter.
It's a pleasure. It was good to see you at church recently, and I hope to see you there again soon. And happy Easter to everybody. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, Shane.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that concludes this episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, please be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or you can just Google Caffeinated Thoughts and we'll show up at the top of your search screen. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our email updates. That way you don't miss a single blog post or podcast episode. Until next time, my friends, this is Shane Vanderhart. Take care.